The internet is coaching our kids. When boys hear that on repeat, it shapes how they see themselves. We can't leave it to those voices. We have to be louder, together.
With EE.
We need to coach them, guide them, back them.
Building our boys up every chance we get.
Be yourself.
Back your mates.
Confidence comes from within. Yeah!
As proud partner of the England teams, EE has support and guidance to help build all our boys up, on and off the pitch. Search EE Yes Boys.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of The Nation by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Smell of blood. An elk laying on the plain. Its heart slowing as blood leaks from its chest cavity. Overhead, the clouds are gray. Welcome to Blood of the Wild.
Oh my God.
An exploration of the meaningless of life. A nihilistic descent into sorrow.
No one laugh. This is very serious.
I guess I'm Jared Logan.
Yes.
My name's Paula, but what does that even mean, really?
We'll be playing the Pathfinder Adventure Path Quest for the Frozen Flame. Here's Skidmar. Paula Deming. Mary Lou.
Hey.
And Joe O'Brien.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Man, I was concerned you weren't taking the game seriously enough.
Yeah.
Up until now. Now it's like, okay, now I understand where my misapprehension came from.
Now we get it.
Yeah.
Now I get it.
Everybody knows that cynicism and like pessimism is like shorthand for like cool.
Yeah. Also for artistic integrity, you know?
Yeah,
that's
totally.
That's a big part of it.
Yeah. Yep. Uh-huh. Yep.
Stop having fun! Stop it.
Oh, yeah.
That was my attempt at a goth intro.
Loved yeah. It worked.
I'm trying to do my intros in every genre that exists. And okay. One day, I swear to God, I'm just going to do the whole thing in Japanese.
Wow.
Great.
Build up to that.
I started with goth.
Teaching myself Japanese so I can do that.
I'm actually trying to dig into your intro, and I do wonder how philosophy, right? Philosophy in general, is it invented, you know, in whatever, 2,000 years ago or whatever, in human thought, you know what I mean? Or does it pre-exist that by a long time? Do people that are prehistoric peoples, do they have time to think about meaning,
Yes.
Or are they just so worried about survival that like... You know, you don't have the luxury to think about what meaning is the wrong word, but, you know, these deeper questions beyond just
what religion. What do you think they do while they're lying in bed, not able to sleep?
Yeah, I don't know.
I bet they sleep super well.
They're so tired.
They're tired.
From killing that elk from the start that yeah. they don't need to like wonder about an existential crisis they might be having.
Yeah.
Right.
Before they go to bed.
Mathematicians and like engineers argue all the time about whether math was invented or discovered.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Like,
wait, how can you discover math?
Because it was always there, right? Like math is always true. 2 + 2 always equaled 4. So
does
we.
It?
Well, what
or did
does
we
it?
Just decide that that's what it equaled?
Yeah.
I think math is a construct just like time.
Mm.
Yeah. And gender. And I feel you.
Height is a construct.
Height is a construct.
Fire.
Fire is a construct.
Fire is just in your imagination.
Yeah. Just think about it. Like, what is it? Did we discover it or invent it?
I always say, like, we were making s'mores around the fire the other day with our friends who also have kids. And I'm like, having a one-year-old, which I have my one-year-old Oscar, it's like having a friend who doesn't know you can't touch fire. You know,
yeah.
It's like,
yeah. A tiny drunk person.
My time making s'mores was just like, no! No!
Yeah, that's
really
pretty much
relaxing.
Dead on.
Really relaxing, yeah. Fun
Oscar,
time.
And just to clarify, Mary Lou, like this is not a drunk person that's
right
fun to hang out with.
No,
or a drunk person that's like a little silly. It's like the drunk person there. It's like nobody's home. They make you so angry because they're not even a person. They're so stupid. Like that's what having a one-year-old is like.
Sounds fun.
But to answer your original question, Joe, of course prehistoric people had philosophy. They made painted animals on the side of the caves. So
right.
They
so,
had art and religion.
Does that mean that there were also goth teens in prehistoric era? Were there teens were like, why does any of it matter anyway?
Yes. Yes.
Humans have been humaning for all of our existence. We are not that different from how we used to be. I truly believe that.
Humans gonna human.
Humans got a human.
Or and another way to say it,
teen.
Humans be humanin.
Yep.
Yeah.
Humans be humanin, teens.
I guess,
be
but
teenin.
The teen phase, I think, in prehistory went a little bit more from about 11 to 15.
Slightly younger.
Where they were
yeah.
fully adults and had 3 kids at 15. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I feel like if you were a goth teenager in a prehistoric hunter gatherer society, you probably were like, just sort of like, lazily half gathering all the time, like, and like you'd come back to your dad and you'd be like, I found a walnut, and he's like, just a walnut, like, we've got to eat. And you're like,
I'm picturing
whatever, don't take my walnut, then you never appreciate me.
Yeah. Shut up, it's the best I could do. You see, I'm not you, dad. I can't hunt caribou.
I would ask to be born.
And now red like an angry teenager. The other lords say our days are numbered. Our following dwindles. Enemies dog our footsteps, and we have failed on our sacred charge. They say we will soon pass away into the endless northern night. They're fucking mistaken. We are strong, you guys.
Yeah.
Broken
yeah,
but strong. You guys. Our hearts beat. And it is like the sound of a herd of mammoths stampeding across the tundra. And in each heart flows the blood of the wild.
That's
nice
right.
Ending, Jared. Strong ending.
That was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Changes in sexual performance are more common than most people realize. And support doesn't need to feel awkward. With MedExpress, everything happens privately online. Start by completing a short consultation reviewed by UK-registered clinicians. If eligible, treatment is delivered discreetly to your home with ongoing support whenever you need it. You're not alone in this. Visit medexpress.co.uk/podcast to learn more.
Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Mark and Jamal's romantic weekend will depart in 4 minutes from Platform 6. Your ride comes with a rolling countryside sunset view and a table seat ideal for playing footsie beneath. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search Realms of Peril and Glory to find out more.
Welcome back to the realm of the Mammoth Lords, a place that I love to spend time in. I am not a goth teenager. I am an enthusiastic three-year-old when we get to enter this world. And what I will tell you is, in the way of a brief recap, is that our scouts, the tip of the spear, Olog, Yelka, Awol, and Raga, and Baba, Raga's brother, have been headed across the plain, leading their following to Red Cat Cave. In Red Cat Cave, they will confront Siarstik, a guardian, and find out the final fate of the primordial flame, an artifact that is missing. They are being chased by the Burning Mammoths, another warlike, rapacious following that wants to take the primordial flame for themselves. And recently, they encountered some Burning Mammoth scouts that were poisoning the river.
What
After
dicks?
That, they traveled a bit across the plains, and they found a mammoth that had been petrified. That's what happened in our last episode.
I don't know.
Petrified
it seems
by
like
a
it
cockatrice.
Was just a statue, because I didn't sense any sadness from it.
Yeah.
Ooh,
guys, stop fighting.
That's very goth, sensing sadness. Well,
I feel like if any of us is a goth
read
teen,
goth
it's Yelka.
Resonance? Is that the, is
yes.
that the spell?
Yeah, just wait. Yelka's going to start gothing it up for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, now that she's broken up with her boyfriend, Pecano, it's definitely time
and
for...
And he didn't even know we were dating.
Yeah, that's she tough.
She hasn't had time for a sulk, a true teenage sulk, but maybe she has time now because it's been pretty smooth going the last couple hexes. You've been making good time across the plain here along the Seorn route of the Broken Tusk following. Now you are approaching the Grandparents, which is the next spot where your following must stop down, reconnoiter for a couple days, and take a rest. The Grandparents are two huge mountain peaks that are on either side of a valley that leads into the valley where you'll find Red Cat Cave. So I bring us back to our travel map. Ahead of you to the northeast is a hill hex. To the southeast is more plains. And you've kind of got to head roughly to the northeast to get to the Grandparents. Where would you like to travel next? And feel free to have a discussion before we get into all that. But that's where we're at this moment.
Can I bring up a discussion that I didn't think of until you mentioned the recap that AWOL may have had with all of you in the previous days? Why would they poison the river?
Yeah.
Maybe they thought that they were getting to it before we were at Gleaming Sun Lake, and they were trying to poison the following at Gleaming Sun Lake.
That's a good suspicion.
Hey, yeah. You know what? Hero point, Mary Lou.
Nice! Yeah!
Anytime someone comes up with an explanation I don't have, Mary Lou or whoever does it gets a hero point.
I get it.
Mary
Thanks,
Lou gets
guys.
The hero point.
So she also, has two, everybody else has one right now, is that right?
Yes,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We all have one.
Also, let's jot down Joe O'Brien on that stat sheet for the assist!
Nice!
Set it up!
Yay.
Yeah, you guys are going to start every single adventure now, every single session, you're going to be like, hey, can I ask a question? Why did the cockatrice, you know?
Yeah.
I'll always have an answer. I'm ready.
You'll get some hero points for that.
I have a question for Jared, OGM of ours. Could you do me a favor on our Roll 20 Hex Grid score? Exploration map here and just ping the hex that we are planning to reconnoiter in.
Yeah, where's that? Where's
Is
the
it
two?
One of these hills in between? Okay, yeah.
That one, okay.
See how it's exactly between two mountains?
Yeah, it's that's like the mountain pass.
Right.
Those are the grandparents, and this is the pass between them. This is where you're going to stop down with your following and reconnoiter.
Got it.
I think we continue along the plains until we get to those hills. Just again, for speed.
I agree with you.
Agreed. Unless, yeah, great, good.
Yep, I'm in. Let's do it. So we'll continue. We'll move to the southeast in order to skirt around the hills that are between us and the mountain pass and do a couple more days in plains before we have to actually ascend into the mountains.
Okay.
I think that's the move. Please, I moved us.
Please use a ration.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to hunt. I have to.
Do it.
Getting low. I have to try. Wow. Adjusted 9.
Wow. Yeah. See, I can't tell if it's a good wow or a bad wow. It was a bad wow.
Question, Jared. Is this incompetent hunting, or is there just a lot less wildlife around here?
Yeah, well, it's based on your role, so it's incompetent hunting.
Damn.
Cool.
Damn. I was hoping you'd give me an out there.
Yeah, there's sorry.
This reminds me when I was fly fishing with my father-in-law, who's teaching me to fly fish. I don't know how to fly fish. And I was literally fishing in a beautiful, unbelievably gorgeous stream in Arkansas. And there were literally rainbow trout jumping everywhere around me. I mean, I could grab one with my hand. They were jumping so close. Within 20 feet around me in a circle, jump, gorgeous. Not a single bite. Didn't catch a single fish.
Wow,
I was just like, how can I be so bad at this? Like, they're all right here.
I think that sometimes happens to the best hunters. I mean, I've never hunted anything, but I have to imagine that, you know, you can be an expert master level. And
sometimes the fish just don't bite.
Yep. The fish just don't bite. The weather holds today, and everyone will have to expend a ration because AWOL has been unsuccessful in his hunting on the move.
Sorry, everyone.
As Yelka eats one of her dried rations, she goes, oh, remember a few days ago when we had that really good elk?
Yes.
That was delicious.
We shall soon starve to death here in the wilderness. Unremembered and unloved.
Olog.
I love you.
I love you very much.
Jinx, I don't believe you. I'm going to my room to listen to Joy Division.
Oh, Olog. Don't worry about him, Raga. He's just going through a phase.
All right. I won't try not
he
to
is,
take
He is 11.
Yeah, I am 11, so.
Oh, man. I recently finished that book, Endurance, about the Shackleton journey. I think we've loosely mentioned stuff about it before, but one of the things that's well documented is that, you know, they were never really starving, but they had to eat just like seal meat for so long and stuff like that. And like, it's well documented how much they talk about food. Like they would talk, they would pass hours and hours just talking about food that they would want to eat. And I imagine that with us, like a couple days later, just like when we're eating 2 days of rations, just like, remember the elk, like how good that was. Yeah. And then talking about what we're going to do when we get the next elk, you know, just
actually,
like.
This makes me think, so Yelka, with this in mind, being an herbalist, she'll start poking around as they walk and just see if she spots anything that would make like good seasoning or garnish for the next time they have an elk.
Okay. Would she like to do this as you travel the next day, as you travel to your next house?
Yeah, I think so. As they're going, one of the things she'll be scouting out for is, you know, like tarragon.
Very good. Let's travel to our next hex, and while we are doing that, of course, Yelka can make a nature roll.
Let's go.
Where are you going to go? I mean, there's kind of a clear direction right now. Across the plains to the northeast, you're approaching. Now the mountain peaks of the grandparents loom over you.
And we're pretty much in the mouth of it.
Yeah, and you can see that, you know, more than the mountains on either side, they really come up higher into like really sharp peaks, and it really feels like the opening to this valley is like a doorway, and sort of mist sort of pours out of it across, you know, the crunchy earth that you walk across. And Yelka, how does it go for you with your nature roll?
Yelka has spent all day looking around. Her stomach's growling. They see this beautiful view, and she just stops, drops to her knees, and goes, "We're never going to eat anything tasty again." Oh, no. Well, that would be an 11 total.
It's not enough, yeah. And I'll tell you something else that happens. It starts raining really hard.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And so as you're traveling, in order
now
to make sure...
Now you know
sure
how I feel all the time, everyone.
Mm-hmm. And
in order to make sure that this square doesn't cost you more than one day, this hex, you need to tell me how you are mitigating the rain using your skills and expertise.
Mm. Oh, no.
Well, Baba and I, I have never liked the rain. I really do not mind snow and ice. It is quite lovely. I feel quite at home there. But the rain, I do not like. I do not like being wet. It is very uncomfortable for me. And Baba's coat naturally repels water. He dries quickly, but he still does not like it. But I have learned from him. And we're going to take some animal fat and rub it on our clothes, or I'm gonna rub it on my clothes and I'm gonna rub him down in animal fat, and that's gonna help us repel the water. Like,
do you have animal fat?
Okay, yeah, you know, maybe I go hunting for a little bit of an animal.
Okay, or maybe I would allow you to expend some rations that ostensibly have animal fat with them.
I'll expend a ration.
Well, okay.
Go ahead.
Perhaps having a Tempest Mystery and being of the air domain, this says you can control winds and the weather.
Ooh.
Now, there's no real specific thing. It continues to say, other than my spell, one of my Tempest spells, which is pushing gust. Okay, now, this is obviously a stretch. This is not what it's meant to do. That's meant to, you cast a spell, it pushes a target away from you.
I can't wait to hear this. First of all, I'm ruling that Raga is already covered in animal fat, okay? That is canon, okay?
That has happened.
All right?
So we smell delicious.
Yelka, give me your argument for the fact that gust of wind makes an entire weather front go away.
No. Look, I'm not thinking that big. I'm just thinking, can I surround our party with some air that will kind of blow the water away from us as opposed to landing on top of us? I'll spend a spell slot and activate my curse even.
Oh, wow. Okay, if you're doing all of that, then I will give all of you a circumstance bonus to the survival roll that I want you to make.
Ooh, okay.
Do you have to stay kind of near me?
If,
and you might get some little electric shocks from it.
If you want to leave it up to one person to tell you what to do, for example, if you all decided to take Raga's animal fat plan, then only one person has to roll the survival for you. If you'd all each like to do your own plan, then you can go ahead and each roll survival.
If we stay in Yelka's little bubble of good weather...
Yeah.
We just let her roll.
I don't know if I call it good. It's pretty windy, but it's keeping the rain off of us.
If you're going into Yelka's bubble, then I think that, you know, we should let Yelka roll it.
A lot of pressure.
It is.
I'm going to do my clear die because I want to have clear day.
Ooh.
So this is survival?
This is a survival.
And we have a +1 circumstance bonus.
I'm going to give you +2 for using magical powers to blow away the wind, the rain.
Well, then that would be a 19 +6 +2. Ooh. So that's a 27 total.
Nice. Nice.
You crit success.
Yes.
I'm going to rule that you travel at normal speed, and you guys, Yelka's weird bubble of wind is so effective that... you don't feel any rain on you at all. You're like dry.
That's cool.
That's really even cool. Better because that means you can smell the animal
you
fat.
You smell
that I've
so
rubbed
weird.
On and
is that exactly how the spell should work? Let us know. Write to the Glass Cannon Network, care of Joe O'Brien.
Please don't.
15711 Who Cares Road. We don't. New York. Okay.
Yelka has never felt, honestly, so proud. You see, normally, you know, when Olag, he kind of blushes and turns like a darker shade of green. It's like that, except actual, like, human color blushing. She's so proud for the first time of something related to this curse that she has that is actually being used to help her friends in such a clear way, and they're close to her, and she feels so good.
All right.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, Olag is like super proud of you, and he's just like, ah, this is wonderful. And he starts singing like a traveling song. Like, it's put him in such a good mood. He's just like singing a traveling song about the sunshine.
With AWOL accompanying terribly.
I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. Yeah.
Soon the rain stops.
Raga loves it.
Soon the rain stops, but Yelka's curse persists. There is sort of this like little bit of a cyclone kind of surrounding you guys. Leaves kind of get caught up in it, small twigs and branches. And but, you know, eventually you're able to calm that, right, Yelka?
Yes, I have to. Technically speaking, it does take like 8 hours of rest for me to refocus.
So I think that once you guys stop down to camp and you're taking out your supplies and everything, they're getting knocked over, blown away. You know, AWOL is having trouble.
Right, Yelka, that's enough. That's enough.
I can't stop it.
It's, can you turn it off or to tell it to please stop now? Thank you.
No, I can't. I just have to like meditate all night and then it calms down. I mean, I could stop obviously when the rain stopped, the wider wind, but it's just this what appears to be exactly 5 feet around me. I can't control it. I'm sorry. It's okay. Right. I'll just stand back, and now Yelka, the exact opposite posture that she had earlier, will just step away and isolate herself and be like, I won't touch anything. You'll just have to set up the camp without me.
And AWOL's going to hunt.
Very good. Go for it.
Come on, AWOL. You bastard. It's been a tough one. There we go. 22.
Yeah. 22 is a hit.
Nice. Hit that rabbit.
What kind of animal is it? Let's see.
Let's see how big. Come on.
Okay. You're not sure what exactly the type of saurid you've killed is, but it is, it's not very large, but it runs on two legs and it's got feathers on it. It's not a cockatrice. It's a saurid.
Favorite kind of dinosaur.
It's sort of reptilian, but with like some feathers coming off of it and two little small hands.
It's a saltipus.
Claws, yeah.
Real early era dinosaur. It was like a little chicken running around, kind of.
It's a bit bigger than that, but yes.
But does it taste like chicken?
Well, are you going to clean it and eat it?
Yeah.
It tastes very different from the elk you had earlier. Mm. But it is completely...
We're never going to have anything tasty again.
It's completely... No. You get a lot of good meat off of it, and it's completely edible.
Okay. AWOL cuts a raw steak off the side of the creature and just kind of walks it to within 20 feet of Yelka, giving her a curious look, and just throws the wad of meat toward her.
Into her tornado.
It's like just flying by me now. I'm like... It's
just where the raw meat just hits the grass near her.
I'm going to roll that.
How many people can eat off of that?
I think we're going to say that two people can eat off of this.
Including AWOL.
Now, you know what? Fuck that. If you're not preserving it for days. You're completely slaughtering it for every bit of meat on it, right?
Yeah.
Everyone can eat off of that.
All right, great. So saving rations for one day.
Yeah, saving rations for one day. And that brings us to the next dawn, I believe.
And I'm going to specially cook a nice thigh for Yelka and bring it over to her and sit with her in the wind.
Thank you, Olag.
Wind never bothered me.
You're too tough. You're too big. The wind can't knock you over. Can you imagine even trying?
If the wind wants to knock over Olog, it's going to need a lot of help.
So cute.
That goes double for God.
Careful taunting the gods in this world. They That's are true. Real, and one of them remembers the Blessed One. Okay, so now I will say dawn breaks. You've all gotten your rest. Yelka, the effects of your curse have abated.
And you
have really only one hex left that you sort of must enter into. It is a hill hex, so it will take you 2 days to enter into it.
There are vampires out there. They're beside you in the darkness, but what people don't understand is that they're not monsters. They're just going to work, living their unlives. But we are a dying breed. Those who came before me, they are fearful and are not content to sit back and just disappear. And they'll do anything to fix that. From the creators of Parkdale Haunt comes Woodbine, a podcast about monsters, dreams, and changes, those you want and those you never saw coming. Season 2 arrives September 24th, distributed by Realm.
Reality TV is messy. Pop culture is louder than ever. And the internet? Completely unhinged. Welcome to Roxanne.
And Chantel.
The podcast where cousins Roxanne and Chantel break down reality TV, celebrity drama, and the stories everyone's texting about.
We recap the shows,
spill the headlines,
and sit down with the stars themselves.
No filter.
No boring takes.
Just the tea.
New episodes every week.
If it's trending,
we're talking about it.
This is Roxanne.
And Chantel.
Let's get into it.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine. And now, I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.
And I just want to say that this whole time we've been heading east. And the way you describe these mountains and this pass, the way I picture it, it's like the way dawn breaks is like the sky lightens, but there's no sun on us for several hours because we're so close to the mountains, wall of mountains. So it's like cold, and like the frost does not lift from the grass easily. And we can see the land behind us like getting bright and stuff like that. But it's where we are. We're in the shadow of the mountain, and it's just like cold and dark. And like you said, misty toward the top. And we start now. We start the rise up into the mountains.
Please take 2 days and enter that next hex that will bring you to your next waypoint where the following will stop down.
All right, and another hunt.
Yes, please.
Oh no, 11.
Not enough. So everybody, expend a ration, and could someone move your Broken Tusk following into?
We need to spend 2 rations.
Yes, you do. Thank you, Yelka.
For that one hunt roll, do I do another hunt roll, or should we just say that that one hunt roll we got to spend 2?
Let's just call it 1 for now, if that's okay. Let's just do 1 hunt roll.
Okay, so I'm down to my last ration.
I am out of rations. Well, so then,
I can give you 1.
I can either take 1 from someone else, or I can try foraging.
We might need you to do that, Raga.
That's all right. Keep your rations. I will forage for myself and for Baba.
Sorry, all my traps are empty. I don't know what's happening.
Well, the following will be with us soon. We can get more from them.
Right. Hopefully they haven't been waylaid.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
Raga, can you do a forage?
Yep.
Well, actually, I don't think we need to. We like that's kind of over. And now we're in the hex, right? So now it's like, what happens in the hex?
Great question. So perhaps you just go hungry for a couple hours, and then pretty soon up into the hills, between the hills, you see little orange and brown spots that get closer and closer and become mammoths with riders on them as the broken tusk catches up with you.
Yay!
And yes. surrounds you. And you immediately meet the mammoth lords themselves, Letsua, Argakoa, Nocta, Murgith, and they approach, and Letsua says, "Well done, scouts. You have brought us here to the grandparents, but we must rest again."
Yes, it's been a hard journey.
Is everybody well? Is the herd doing well?
They are well, but I'm afraid our travel into the hills has cost us some time. I fear the burning mammoth have gotten closer. As we traveled in the night, we saw their fires burning to the west.
How many days' travel are they from us?
They must be very close, but we have no choice but to stop here. Hopefully the hills will slow them too. They are very large, a very large force, and that means they travel slower and are ponderous in their movements. I wish you to take 2 days. I'm sorry, Yelka, for interrupting you, but you must listen.
Yes.
I want you to take 2 days and reconnoiter here in this valley, the grandparents. And then we will move forward into your goal, Red Cat Cave. I pray that you're not leading us on a journey that will destroy us all. But it was Awa's wish to explore this cave again.
Do we say anything about the finding out the true name? Or is that something we just like keep to ourselves?
I haven't even told you guys yet. So.
Oh, great.
Oh. Yep.
Well, relieve me of that burden. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell them either. I think she considers it a true, like something very incredibly private and like deeply magical. And it's not that she doesn't trust you guys, but she probably doesn't trust the following at large. Not quite yet with this, with something so precious. Because she also doesn't know Siarstik, if he's bad or good or what his deal is.
Yeah.
So.
Do we need to put up some sort of defensive perimeter? Is there anything that we can do in case
we're
going to
reconnoiter. We have to reconnoiter, which is like a whole activity.
Comes forward and says, "We will handle that. We will keep the following safe. You need to reconnoiter. You need to look around and make sure there are no dangers here between the grandparents."
Okay. So we're just scouting the area now for dangers that we didn't see when first coming into the hex.
That's right. So you're reconnoitering, which is a hexploration activity. You can spend a day reconnoitering. Letsua is recommending you go ahead and spend 2 days doing that. And, you know, making sure that it is safe to enter the Valley of Red Cat Cave. And so you may now spend 2 days reconnoitering. How do you reconnoiter? Well, you roll a skill that would help you do that. And, you know, you can imagine that survival and or perception are both ways that you can scout around inside the hex. I let me be very clear. When you travel, all you do is you keep moving, right? And occasionally you guys have come across random encounters, but the second you were done with them, you kept moving, resting, you know, just when you needed to and keep moving. When you reconnoiter, you're exploring every mile of the hex to see if there's anything you're missing, anything interesting.
Okay.
And in the future, as you use your hexploration, you will have more need. You won't be running quite as fast, and you'll have more need to reconnoiter and figure things out, find hidden things within the hex. And that's what Letsua is asking you to do right now. That's not to say that you can't spend a little time with the following now if you wish. Talk to any of the NPCs you've met, but if you'd rather just get started reconnoitering, that is completely valid as well.
I think the very first thing Yelka would do, I want to get started right away, but just give me just half an hour, Olog? Should we go check on Father?
Yes, we should.
We'll be quick, we promise.
I will begin the search.
Raga's going to start reconnoitering immediately.
Okay.
AWOL is going to go to Shaggy Shemven.
Shaggy!
Oh, Shaggy.
Shaggy! Excuse me, Shaggy. You all right?
Hello, AWOL.
Have everyone been treating you okay?
I feel honored to be among you.
Great, great. I had a question.
Many people have asked me questions about the ways of the Kored.
The Kored? Is that his people?
Yes, that is the name of my people, my species.
You're talking oddly slowly. Are you aware of this?
I'm sorry. Sometimes I forget what it's like to talk to quick creatures like yourself. I'm used to talking to stones. They speak much more slowly.
Well, it's funny you should mention that. And he's going to pull out the emerald necklace that was around the cockatrice. And he wants to show it to Shaggy Shemven. We found this on a cockatrice, and I wondered if it rung any bells for you, if you've ever seen anything like this.
Look at these beautiful emeralds. They have
been... have a stone with a rune and with a key slot. Don't forget about that there, AWOL.
So,
his head snaps to the sky. A muse.
He looks at the emeralds and he says, you know, they should be left in their natural form. They've been worked into a collar. He doesn't really like that. In fact, in his beard, he has like some gems and rocks kind of tied, but they haven't been like cut or like
right. AWOL has the same thing. He has them like tied into his hair. So these were shaped and cut to be a collar for a pet. Right. And what about this? And he shows him the runestone, which I think we were unable to identify.
Yeah.
Another atrocity. Look at how this stone has been changed from its natural form.
Well, it was made better, no? Look, it's much nicer than the average rock you just find
maybe
laying around.
If it were in the shape of a raven. Oh, my lost love.
Shaggy
how
needs to
I
get.
How I pine for you through the long days and nights.
Man, that boy sprung.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shaggy wouldn't know anything about... Shaggy, to cards on the table, has no arcana skill.
Yeah, well, that's good to know. I didn't know if a fey creature might have a little bit more than me. Yeah. So.
It makes sense. Not a bad guess, but Shaggy... Basically, AWOL, I don't know how your character would feel about this, but Shaggy is wasting a lot of your time. Like, he keeps talking really slowly. No, he keeps going off on tangents.
As you got into that, I imagined... AWOL just like sliding the runestone out of his hand and just slowly backing away as he's talking about the Raven Woman. And he just like keeps going on and on. And AWOL's just slowly.
Shaggy doesn't even know you're leaving.
And then, I would quickly try to go to our most magically inclined Mammoth Lord, who I'm not sure who that would be. I don't know
that
if that's.
That would probably be Nocta.
Nocta, okay.
Nocta, the healer.
So he'll go to Nocta.
Nocta looks at the stone. That's what you bring
to
Nocta,
primary
right?
The runestone, yeah.
And Nocta says, interesting. And Nocta rolls.
We know it has magical energy, but we
never seen anything like it. I don't know what it does.
Well, the thing about the Mammoth Lords is that arcane magic is very rare in this in this part of Galarian, in this part of Avastan. So Nocta might not know this. Nocta may also not have. Nocta has very high religion. Nocta is a healer, but they might not know about the arcana of this. Let's see. Nocta does know.
Ooh.
Nocta identifies, and it is a rune stone and a ghost touch rune.
Whoa.
Oh, cool.
Ghost yes. touch rune.
Yes. So if this is, you know, added to a weapon, Nocta explains quietly, because Nocta has a very quiet voice, you will be able to interact with those beings that dwell beyond the veil, whose substance is like mist or gossamer web. You will be able to cut them, hunt them, hurt them.
Yeah.
I love hurting things.
Okay.
Who you gonna call? incredible.
Well, here's my other question. I just sort of took runestones for granted in 2E. Like, how do they go into weapons?
Yeah, I was going to ask the same question.
You know, like,
I've never understood
video...
how you can transfer them from one object to the other.
Yeah, because it's...
You have to find a workbench, and you have to have all the materials.
Yeah.
You got to level up your crafting skill.
Yeah, and sorcery, yeah.
So, I've been looking into this, and actually... Paula, in a way, you're right. You kind of do need a workbench and tools.
And you probably actually do need to level your crafting.
You do need to level up your crafting.
Oh,
so
man.
Get your faces ready for a lot of information.
Oh, great.
The first bit of information will shock you. And that is that I made a mistake earlier in our campaign.
Don't say that.
It happens. It happens sometimes. I never like to admit it. Yeah, I described... Just to reiterate, I described the runestone as two pieces, like a rock that slots into another rock. That was, I don't know what I was doing there. I have no explanation for why I said that. All you need to know is that you have one stone. You have one stone with a ghost touch rune on it. Okay,
let's be clear
about that part. Now, how do you transfer it to a weapon? Well, first, let me say, normally... To add a property rune to a weapon, that weapon already needs to have a fundamental rune or runes, meaning it needs to already be +1 or +2 or something like that.
Ooh.
You guys don't have a weapon like that, but we are using the automatic bonus progression system. You all already have +1 attack bonus. And the whole reason we're using that system is because this AP has a dearth of magical weapons. It would logically not be fair to penalize you for not having said weapons when you were trying to use a rune. Therefore, the ABP will be sufficient. I'm going to count all of your weapons as +1 weapons, and you may add property runes to one.
One I like this kind of GM rune. Ruling.
Thanks, well, Dad.
Yeah, no problem. You're welcome. And remember this when I TPK you later. Now,
now how do you actually get it on there? Did you say
how do you actually get it on there? Well, now we do hit a bit of an impasse because you do need the magical crafting feat, which none of you have.
No.
So somebody is friendly
NPC has
you need
magical
to find,
crafting.
Exactly. You need to find an NPC who has magical crafting and who can transfer the rune for you. And because AWOL would already know this, I'm going to tell you, you know, earlier we said Nocta probably knows the most about magic in the following, but Nocta, they're not the only one. I think that Murthig, the dwarf,
Firekeeper.
That makes sense to me.
You would already know this, AWOL. Murthig has the magical crafting feat. It makes sense. He sort of half raised you. You have crafting. He has some crafting that is leveled up. So if you take the rune,
I imagine him thinking my crafting and like my focus on jewelry and artwork
is useless.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, he's like, everything I taught you, this is what you do with it.
It's time to face the real world, boy. It's time to face the real world. Get your head out of the clouds.
It is. It's like getting a degree in theater.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. This is what you're doing with the money I'm giving you.
Arthur is like, it's time to get practical and learn magical crafting.
You need to have
that's their version of like going down into the mines.
Okay, so he would know all this. He knows he could take it to Murthig. But what about there's also the liquid.
The potion.
I assume is a potion of some kind, or elixir. Could he produce that? What about this? And show it to Nocta, see if they can draw any information out of that?
Absolutely. And what will happen is, I'm going to count the earlier roll. The earlier roll that Nocta made was very good. So Nocta identifies this oil as an oil of potency. When you apply this thick, viscous oil to a weapon or suit of armor, that item immediately becomes magically potent. The item is a weapon, it temporarily becomes a +1 striking weapon, or if it's armor, it temporarily becomes +1 resilient armor. So Nocta tells
Ooh.
You,
Ooh.
This will strengthen, for a few scant moments, this will strengthen your equipment. It will make your weapon strike true. It will make blows bounce off of the hides you wear. This is very powerful stuff.
Wow. And AWOL is just like staring at it wide-eyed, just amazed at this idea. Because you can also imagine it too, right? Like you can imagine applying this oil and it suddenly something becomes so much stronger, right? Like for a brief amount
like
of time.
It's just like in The Witcher.
Yes. Exactly. It is. That's what AWOL thinks.
And for my players,
like in The Witcher.
For my players, a few scant moments that Nocta mentioned is actually 1 minute. So you might call it like an encounter.
Yeah, it's kind of an encounter buff.
When
right?
I read 1 minute, I usually go, oh, an encounter.
Yeah.
Well, Jared, did you look into applying oils? Is that a single action?
So I looked into this. Get ready for a lot of information.
Get your face ready.
You have to take the bottle and pour the liquid onto the item.
Wow.
And we're done.
Okay.
As a single action.
Well, it would be an interact action to pull it out if it was in your pouch or whatever, and an interact action to apply it to your weapon or armor.
And you also,
that's if you do it during the encounter.
And you need two hands to do it. So whatever it is that you're putting it on, if it's a weapon, it has to be out of your hands to be able to apply it. So then you have to apply it and then pick it up and wield it again. So.
No, you could take that. I bet you could open that bottle with your teeth. You know what
I mean?
I'm on your side.
It sounds like Skid is bargaining for 7 interact actions to get this oil onto a weapon in combat.
Look, I was going to let you just spray it on there like you're pouring Gatorade on your coach's head, but I guess
I'm picturing it.
Yeah.
And I wonder if AWOL would ask anything about like the amount of liquid in this bottle. Is it like a one-use
I wonder if Yelka would bet a game. I wonder if Yelka would.
I wonder if AWOL is smart enough to ask
Yelka
that.
Yelka wouldn't bet a game, but Paula would.
Yeah.
How much oil is in here? I'm sure it's
shameless.
One application.
I love it.
Just one.
Let's see. How much oil is in here? One application.
Okay.
Now we know.
Okay. AWOL goes to Murthig, gets the ghost rune applied to his weapon, and then we can go on with whatever else you
guys want
to do.
Well,
Murthig
says...
I'm only kidding. Well, I think we have to have a conversation about where
right,
that's going to
go. Oh, right, of course. Yeah. Yes, you said your weapon. I get it. Yes. Well, I don't know who is the best choice, because I'll leave that up to you. I'll let you
exactly. I think we should talk about it. I think it's going to be so cool for him to like bring the rune to everybody and be like, you know what this does and how we do it. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, if we're having this discussion, and Olag would say,
it would be good to turn the tables on the unseen. Cut
through the ethereal like flesh. Yes, I will take on this burden. And he lifts up his axe. He says, like, if it's all right with all of you.
Well, I most certainly do not want it. I do not like ghosts. They are not like animals. They are very dead. So I do not want it.
Oh, I don't have, I don't use weapons that often. And when I do, they're just little stones that tend to clink off of things. So I'm probably not the best choice. So yeah, AWOL or Olag.
Yes, you make a good point, big sister. AWOL, it is between you and me. Shall it be a test of strength?
No, also, no, it shall not. I think we play dice for it.
Yes, as, a game of Olag, chance. Let the gods decide.
As Olag says, yes, good point, big sister. He stands up, puts his massive hand on her head, and towers over her.
Yeah.
I love that big sister. It's so funny. All right, do you want to roll for it? Let's roll for it.
Well, let's just talk about one thing, mechanically. Okay. Do we know how this works? Because, like, would standard weapons do no damage to ethereal creatures, or would they do half damage?
I believe they do. Oh, God, correct me if I'm wrong, everybody, but I believe they do half damage.
The reason being that, like, it would be better to be on AWOL's weapon if regular weapons deal half damage, because you dealing half damage.
If you deal 40 damage, dealing 20
but
damage.
But if you deal no damage with a mundane weapon, then Olag should obviously take it. So we don't have to decide right now. Let's look into it before we make that decision.
Yeah. As long as we're not fighting a ghost today.
Yeah.
I think we have some time.
Right. As long as the camp is not swarmed by ghosts.
Hey, Jared, are we fighting any ghosts today?
Today.
Yes, you are. Oh, I mean, I don't know.
Have we received any threatening messages from any ghosts? Implying
heavily
that they'll attack
us. You find an incorporeal letter left here.
I'm coming to get you later today.
For
you.
In ectoplasm.
I'm coming to get you later today.
So are you guys free at, like, I don't know, like 8?
What an angry like and thoughtful spirit.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, speaking of people who might have been ghosts, should Yelka and Olag go check on Gronum?
How's your pappy?
Yeah, that's probably a foremost.
Very good.
So,
Gronum is communing, conferring with Weepa and her triplets. He's standing. He is using a long branch as like a cane to kind of keep himself up. But when he sees you, he says, "Son, daughter,
father. Oh, you're looking so much better."
I'm feeling better. It's good to feel the sun on my face again.
Yelka's just standing there with like a doofy smile on her face, just really happy.
Is there something you need, daughter?
I just wanted to see how you were. That's all, really. I'm glad you're doing all right. Are we interrupting an important conversation? I'm so sorry. No. Weepa, hello.
Hello. Okay, AWA. Shh. Shh.
That's right, AWA.
AWA.
Gronum limps towards you and says, "I am well, but I fear we have not exited the blizzard just yet. There's still time for us to freeze in our tracks and be attacked by the burning mammoth."
Well, we are going to go out as the tip of the spear, and we're going to reconnoiter around and just make sure everything looks okay, and then we're going to Red Cat Cave. We're almost there, Father. I think we can do this, especially with Olag. You'd be so proud of Olag and everything that he's done all of this time. Right, Olag? Tell him.
And he flushes again, dark green.
It's like, you would be proud, Father. We have slain many enemies.
I have always been proud of you, my children. You need show me no feats of strength to make me proud of you.
Don't ever die.
Please don't die, Father.
Please don't die.
My heart.
No!
Oh, no! No! Sorry, that's just I've been having intermittent heart pains, but I'm fine. Listen,
how tragic to have like gone through all this and saved, and then in episode 24,
I have to watch
my
cholesterol.
He just dies of a heart attack. Like,
Weepa.
Yes.
Is there anything as we go out and scout ahead for the following here? Is there anything from your experience in this area, do you have advice? Anything that we should look out for particularly? You're still, we're the tip of the spear now. We're full scouts. But you are still our trainer.
Yes. Both of you be careful in the grandparents. There are many ledges and cliffs that hide predators or could hide burning mammoth scouts. The paths up through the mountains wind like a snake. But I am no augur. That is your position in the following, Yelka. I would say, though, our route has shown us many bad omens. Be careful.
We will be. And with Olag and Awol and just all, we can do this. We will keep everyone safe.
Yes. She breastfeeds in front of you.
Please, do not call my sister an ogre. I would be forced to slay her.
No, an ogre. We'll talk about it later, Olaf.
I don't understand. Let us go.
I'll just squeeze Gronum's hand, and then we'll get off to our important reconnoitering work.
He gives you a long, meaningful, proud look, and then turns back to the babies, which he is helping with.
Aww, he's the best such a dad.
He's a gentle tribesman. He's a gentle clan mate.
Yeah.
Unlike some of the other mammoth lord following people. Okay. What next? I believe that Raga was going to go ahead and kind of scout the perimeter. Is that right, Raga?
Yeah. Baba and I were just going to kind of trot around the camp's perimeter just to see, you know, just to do our duty, just to keep active and keep watch.
Okay, very good. As you do that, what kind of skill do you think you're bringing to bear in that activity?
Well, I think I'm using nature to see if there are any strange tracks, scuffles in the brush, in the dirt.
Excuse me while I push my glasses up on my nose, Raga, but nature would normally tell you information about the animals and plants here. It would not help you find tracks.
Oh, that would be survival.
That's right.
That would be survival, so I'm using survival. Thank you. Looking at, you know, patterns in the ground, and I'm also using nature to look at the trees and the animals, because I like them and just admire them. That's
very good. Give me a nature roll first.
19.
A 19.
Ooh, yeah, baby.
A 19 indicates that there doesn't seem to be anything unusual about the animals here. The normal types of birds and mountain animals, perhaps there are some goats up in the hills, seem to be dwelling here.
Okay. And then my survival roll. 21.
You find some tracks.
Uh-oh.
Oh, juicy.
Oh, boy.
You find some tracks. It looks like the tracks of humanoids. More than one. Maybe as many as four or five.
Oh, boy.
And they are heading up into the mountains.
Oh, wow. Okay. Multiple humanoids heading up into the mountains. Uh-oh. Okay. Can I roll maybe perception to see if I notice anything about the tracks to see specifically... Do I think these are burning mammoth scouts that have beaten us here.
I'll allow it. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, that wasn't that good. 13.
A 13 doesn't give you any information. Perhaps the tracks are a bit old.
Okay. Old. Interesting.
Well, I don't.
What do you mean by old?
Maybe they are.
Okay, maybe they're old.
Stop reading into every little thing I say.
Every single detail you give as a game master for Pathfinder makes the players go, so they're old. So no one's been here in 7 weeks.
Interesting. Okay, I'm going to rush. Then I think that warrants immediate disclosure to the Mammoth Lords and to the rest of the Tip of the Spear. So I'm going to grab Baba and we're going to trot on back to, I don't know, wherever central command is.
A breathless Raga comes running into camp.
Mm-hmm. Who are you speaking to?
Lords. Honestly, whoever I see first. I'm thinking...
It's Argakoa, the song master.
Oh, he's my tribe leader. Argakoa, I have news. I have found something. Tracks on the perimeter of camp, going up into the mountains. I think they are important. I think the other lords and the Tip of the Spear should know as soon as possible.
Argakoa is a woman. And Argakoa says, you must take the rest of the Tip of the Spear and investigate this immediately. But be careful. Move silently. It could be a completely innocent band of mammoth riders. It doesn't necessarily have to be our enemies.
Yes, Argakoa. We shall be cautious and silent. Thank you for your guidance. And she's going to trot off with Baba at her heels to find her friends.
Very good.
We are, Olag and Yelka are heading probably over in this kind of direction anyway, having just come from Gronum. And if that's not to speak for you, Skid, but...
No, I'm with you. Well, we would probably run into Yelka.
And then so we run into...
And Awa at the same time, yeah.
Friends. What funny that we would all gather here at the same moment.
This is a great coincidence. I was looking for all of you. Very important, actually, that I find you.
Guess what this oil does?
Okay. Very important news.
A reconnoiter activity, which is what our friend Raga used by herself, it takes a day to kind of complete. And so I think while you guys have been back at camp taking care of the business you've been taking care of, Raga has been scouting around. And so it is now dusk. The sun is going down. You need to decide whether you head out, and I'll let you discuss. But I'm going to tell you that it's going to be night very soon.
So we need to discuss if we are going to start following these tracks at night or wait till morning. Is that what you're saying our decision is?
Thank you. Yes.
Yes. Friends, gather around the fire. We have an important move to discuss. I have found something. I have found tracks around the perimeter of the camp. Human tracks, or human-ish. They are walking multiple up into the mountains. Not fresh, not brand new, but not old.
Very old.
Indeterminate age. Maybe very old. It's perhaps... I heard this voice when I saw them. I don't know, maybe old.
Boom from the sky crazy. Above the mountains.
I just heard this voice.
Suddenly you hear another voice. Completely ignore the old description.
Yes. And then I hear this other voice saying, age? ? Big question mark for age of tracks. But listen, it is my opinion that this is important. We should go follow these tracks tonight. I know it is dark, but that will give us privacy, that will give us protection.
Maybe that will help us sneak up on them and see if they're our enemy or not in the cover of darkness.
Argakoa says these might not be enemies, these might be completely innocent travelers, other mammoth riders. But I don't know, the feeling of these mountains, I get much imposing doom from them.
I want us to be very careful, and I think the night will help shroud us.
I can make a torch for us, too, if we need it.
I think no fire. I think we go only by the power of our eyes in the darkness. Perhaps... Can you not see in the dark?
No.
No?
But I can see if there's a moon. He looks at the sky. Is it, like, overcast and dark, or is there
a... There is a full moon, which I think would give everything dim light, which means that things would be concealed to you, meaning you would have to make a flat check of 5 when targeting things. However, I would also rule that it would give you a bonus to stealth checks.
Yeah, we will just see in the dark.
Can you not see in the dark? I also believe AWOL can see in dim light, but I will double check that his eyes, right, his orange eyes.
Oh, yeah.
And Raga has dark vision.
Raga, oh, you have dark vision? Dark. Did I know that? That's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, you cannot? I thought every animal
could.
I
do. I have low light vision from my Ganzi heritage, so for my special eyes.
So no flat check for you.
No flat check for AWOL. So yeah, if he sees the moon, he's like, I'm good to go. Now, the only thing is, well, we've got tracks, right? So probably not a concern for ghosts.
Oh. Ghosts. Why do you bring up ghosts?
Oh, right. And he brings out the rock and discusses.
Oh, that rock we found. Oh.
Yeah, and he discusses what.
We'll take it.
Yeah, and says, well, I don't know how long it takes. Murthy might not be able to do anything in time, but it's probably not necessary to do it now, right? Go follow these tracks first and then do it later.
Oh, yes, I do not want you to give your sword to Murthig for this exploration, I think. I think keep
right.
the rune.
You're right.
Keep your sword.
You're right. And all I can picture, Joe, not AWOL, is Aragorn like walking under the mountain. You know what I mean? Like alone into the mountain at night. It's only ghosts.
Yeah.
I do not know much about the spirit world, my friend, but I do not believe they tend to leave tracks.
Right. I don't think so either. I don't think we should waste any more time talking. Let's go.
Let's go. If we can see the trail, we will follow it.
You will follow the tracks, and I'm going to say that in order to follow the tracks exactly where they go, you're going to need to bring your skills to bear, and I think unless you want a penalty, you're going to have to use someone with dark vision or low light vision.
Okay.
I'll just follow along.
Follow the leader.
Unless you light a torch or something, in which case everybody would have 20 feet of light. A bright light.
I can, if we decide, we don't need to bring anything with us now, but if we decide we would like light at some point, I can
bring
make
the torch.
I can make something that we have glow like it has light.
Oh,
like
that is wonderful. I love
so maybe
your
we
magic.
Wait. Oh, thank
your
you.
Powers continue to astound magic. Me, big sister.
Yes. Yes. For now, let us move under the cover of darkness.
Who has the best survival skill?
I have plus 7.
I have plus 6. Not that I would metagame and tell you exactly what my, you know.
Sure.
Joey's are,
plus,
but.
And I'm plus 6 as well.
Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah. Probably.
I feel like it should be me because I have dark vision and a plus 7.
Yeah.
So follow the leader, follow Raga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, our odds are probably better if we do separate checks because I have a plus 6.
Oh, separate checks. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought we were doing. Like, what's that action? Follow the leader? Or
we don't need to worry about that in this particular
case. Yeah, like I could aid you, but I don't know. I feel like
first
our
of all,
odds are
no,
better
we
if we
two
roll
checks.
Two checks.
Also, someone Absolutely. Must be an expert to use follow the expert,
oh,
and all of you
makes
are just
sense. Trained.
Oh, nice. I didn't realize that. Nice, Jared. Thank you.
That is literally in the name, and I didn't realize.
We're going to get there, and from the light of the moon, AWOL will also look at these tracks.
Exactly.
And he's going to pull out his weapons just because he's a little freaked out. And we'll take a look. Come on. Come on, AWOL. 17. Yep. Right down.
22.
Okay, great. Raga.
Pretty good.
Okay.
Raga. Raga.
We're going to move to roll 20.
Ooh.
We're going to move.
See? I'm so excited.
So excited about that.
Hold on, let me put...
I love getting onto a grid!
Let me put AWOL and...
Oh, yeah, I just moved myself, but...
AWOL and Raga in the vanguard, right? With the others behind them, because they're the ones leading the way.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that you are on a steep mountain pass. And up ahead of you, where I have the fog of war, there's a curving mountain pass that leads kind of around a sharp angle and then up onto a cliff, a flat cliff. And you can't quite see over the cliff right now, but...
For the record, we're moving stealthily.
But say that just about all of you, I'm not going to go into who and who doesn't, because you're all going to communicate this. All of you hear speech up on the cliff, and to you it sounds like they are not speaking Hallet. They are speaking something else.
Oh.
They are from somewhere else.
Oh.
And that's where we'll stop for
today. So exciting.
Yeah,
who are they?
I don't know, but they're about to die.
As long as they're not ghosts.
As long as they're not ghosts. Solon can take care of them.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine, and now, I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.